The title of my sermon is Going to Get One. The scripture that I have that we're going to read is found in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, but all of chapter 15 has a lot to do with this topic. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 to start. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you laid this message on my heart to share with your people here this morning, Lord. Lord, you knew who would be here. It was your plan. It was your design to be able to speak to these people, Lord. And I just pray that I would bring you honor and glory through the words that I would say, that it would encourage your people, Lord. And I just pray that it would be your words and not my words, Lord, that you would be the one that is glorified. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I read these verses and I'm a person that when I read scripture, I have to be able to visualize it. I'm a very visual person because otherwise I don't remember it. So I kind of picture Jesus in this scripture, and I have a feeling he was probably maybe sitting on a stone or something. Maybe he had some bread because it says about him eating with them. And I can see he was probably gathered and he had these sinners and tax collectors, and they were there listening to what he had to say. And I can just envision Jesus meeting these people's needs and breaking bread with them. And then passing it around. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to pass it around and you can take a piece. Just like Jesus might have done with these sinners and publicans. Publicans were tax collectors. And I did a little bit of looking into tax collectors. Why do they pull out tax collectors? And I always kind of thought because people don't like to pay taxes. I don't like to pay taxes, and I'm sure in that time they didn't like to pay taxes either. And I thought that was kind of the whole thing, was just that the fact that these people would collect the taxes. But there's more to it than even that. A tax collector in that day would be a Hebrew that was working for the Roman government. So they actually considered them to be traitors because they were willing to go and work for the Roman government that was oppressing them to collect the taxes. The other thing that the tax collectors would do, in order to get paid, they would charge you extra. Whatever extra they charged you, that's the money they would get. So Jesus is sitting here, speaking to them, sharing with them the love. And then I see over here, you had the Pharisees and the scribes, and these are the religious leaders, and scribes were people that would record events. They were also considered to be great scholars of the law of Moses. If there was any kind of discussion with the law, they would go to the scribes to answer it. So Jesus is sitting over there, he's talking with the sinners and the tax collectors, and he's just having a good time with them. And these guys are over here. Can you believe it? He's sitting over there talking with them sinners. He's there with those tax collectors. I just can't believe it. And he wants to say he's the Son of God. You know, how can he possibly be sitting down with them? Because, you know, we won't even touch those people because they're dirty, they're unclean. And this is what was going on. And I can see Jesus sitting here and he's thinking, you know, I know what those guys are thinking. I know what they're up to. They're trying to badmouth me because I'm here worrying about the lost. I'm worrying about that one, the one that we sung about with the reckless love, the one that we read about in Luke chapter 15, that one that Jesus came to save, that one. Many times when we read that scripture, I think of the one and I think of myself. Because Jesus went and died for me as an individual. He did it for me, he did it for you, he did it for all of us, wishing that none would perish. And I look at that scripture and I think of that one. And the amazing thing is Jesus knows what's going on with the Pharisees and knows that he's listening, they're listening in, and the scribes. So he starts to tell a parable. And I love parables. Jesus spoke many times with parables, one because I think they're easy to remember. And the other part that is amazing about it is that you can read it and read it and read it, and it seems like every time you can get something else out of it. It's just amazing how God can use these different parables to speak to you. And in this parable, Jesus talks about a shepherd, very common thing, having 100 sheep. He has 99 of them have all stayed together, but one has gone, who knows where? He's lost it. He doesn't know where it is. So he goes to find his lost sheep. He lets those 99 that are all together because he knows they're going to be safe. They're together. But that lost sheep out by itself in the wilderness, if it stays lost, is not going to make it. So he goes out and he finds the sheep and he comes back. He's all excited that he's lost the sheep. And he tells everybody how he found his lost sheep, and now once again he has his 100 sheep. Now, I have never had sheep, but I have goats, and I can relate to this very well. Because most of my goats stay in, and then sometimes I will get one or two that just won't stay in. I've had some that go out of my fence and go into the neighbor's fence, and I got to go chase after them and bring mine back. It's the way they are. I can relate to this story because when mine are out, I need to go find them before they eat all of the neighbor's flowers and everything like that, and I have angry neighbors. But that's the way sheep are. But it's the way we are as people as well. Jesus wasn't really talking about going and finding a lost sheep and how exciting it was. He was talking about finding lost souls. This is how God's love is. He goes, he finds us while we're lost. He seeks to find us while we want nothing to do with him. He still goes looking for us. We don't deserve it. We even reject him along the way. We have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ into our lives, and many times we reject it. We pass it up, we say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I get older. I don't want to make that choice now. I'll wait until later. But yet, God just keeps following after us and coming after us time and time again until he finds us, until we are willing to submit to his love. It's like the song that we sang, Reckless Love. There is nothing God won't do to come find the lost. I am so thankful God came after me till someday I was found. And even now that I'm found, I'm glad that when I mess up, he stands there with open arms saying, come to me. I'm still here to forgive you time and time again. When the youth was at Impact, we sang this song, Reckless Love. And it spoke so much to me about the 99 and leaving them to go find the one. And then the speaker talked about Zacchaeus. And he had his message on Zacchaeus, but during the same time, God was speaking to me about something else with Zacchaeus. It amazes me when God does this, that these different things are going on, and he uses them and turns around, and I feel like he is speaking just to me through what is being said. And I wonder sometimes how others, if others have those same opportunities and experiences of God just using somebody to speak to them and to even change what they're saying to complete what's going on. And it just amazes me how these things happen, how God cares about each and every one of us and wants to speak to us. The story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Trent read some of that this morning with opening up. I'm not going to reread it. It's a story we all know pretty well. We have a children's song even about Zacchaeus. And I think when I put myself in the story of Zacchaeus, and I've always thought of it kind of as Jesus walking down through the street, and I always kind of imaged it as like it was a parade going on, and Jesus is walking down, and the people are standing on the sidewalks, and they're cheering for him and stuff like that. And I kind of had a new vision of it while this was going on, while we were there. And I think it was more like a mob of people. I think Jesus was walking down the street, yes, but I think all these believers and stuff had just completely surrounded him. So many of them just wanted to be able to touch him. They wanted to be able to hear whatever he might say. These were people that believed in Jesus and what he was there to do and his message that he was sharing with them. And people just wanted to hear it, and they would gather around and surround him. We see in Scripture otherwise where the woman touched his garment and knew. He knew that he was touched by somebody. And the disciples said, well, there's so many people around, you know, everybody's been touching you. And I think that's what was going on that day. I think there was just a crowd of people that just wanted to get closer. They wanted to see what was going on. And I think, you know, Jesus could have just stopped right there at that instance and started to preach to this multitude of people, the 99 that are gathered around, the 99 that believe in him, that are standing right there trying to get closer and closer. But that's not what happened. Because just down the road, there was a man named Zacchaeus that was short. He tried to get through the crowd to get to Jesus because he heard about him, and he wanted to know what was going on with this Jesus. So he can't see him because he's being short, so he decides to climb up in the tree. And I think God made him on purpose to be short for this exact instance. A lot of times we look at our things that we'd like to change. We'd like to be taller, we'd like to be shorter, we'd like to be thinner, we'd like to have curly hair, straight hair, whatever the case may be. We have all these different things that we would like to change about ourselves, but I believe God made Zacchaeus short for this purpose, so that God could reach to Zacchaeus. And Jesus is walking down through, and he sees that Zacchaeus is in this tree. And he walks over to him, and he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. He stops right there and says, you come down. He no longer worries about the 99 that have gathered around to be closer to him and to hear from him. He focuses in just on Zacchaeus and says, you come down because I'm going to your house. Once again, the crowd are offended by this because Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He was a hated man. But if you read that scripture, you'll find out that that instance of Jesus going to Zacchaeus and calling him out changed his life at that spot. Zacchaeus was not the same anymore. He changed from his ways. He gave to the poor. He gave back what he had wrongly taken from people. And his life was changed for all of eternity because Jesus stopped and talked to that one. That one was Zacchaeus this time. Jesus was showing us what we need to do. We have to leave the 99 to go find the one lost. Oh, we need the 99. We need to gather together here inside these walls, and we need to worship our Heavenly Father. We need to be able to lift up one another's burdens. We need to be able to share with each other's joys. But if all we ever do is focus on the 99 that are inside of these walls, we have a lost world outside of these walls that is dying. The single ones, the Zacchaeus, are standing outside the walls. Sometimes they might be wondering what's going on inside there, but maybe they just don't have the courage to step foot inside. They're that lost one. They're that Zacchaeus that's waiting for you to come by and call them by name and say, "Hey, I'm coming to your house," or "You come to my house." Jesus, I believe, was giving us an example in this scripture of Zacchaeus of what it meant to be to leave the 99 and go find that one. He took many opportunities to share in a large crowd like this and preach and teach these that were gathered together. But you can see he also took the opportunity to go and find just one to be saved. He had his 12 disciples that he shared it intimately with. So he had small groups as well that he confined in. But it's very important that we go and find this one. We look out into this dark world and we can find all kinds of excuses of what's going on and what we need. Oh, we can blame it on the schools taking God out of the schools and removing prayer and Bible reading. We can blame it on politicians and we can get all excited when the next elections come because some new politician's going to save America. And I really think that none of those things are going to work. What's really going to work to change this nation and change this world, change our community, is when we reach out to the one and lead them to Jesus Christ. The only thing this world needs is Jesus Christ. And if we only focus on the 99 inside these walls, we're not going to grow. We're not going to reach a dying world. We have the answer. We have the solution. We've received that solution ourselves. So why don't we take it outside these walls? Who are you going to seek to share the love of Christ with? Who is that one that's in your mind that you think of? Is it a family member that you have that's lost? Maybe they were raised in the church and have gone astray. Maybe it's a neighbor that you come in contact with that you know they don't know the Lord. Is it a friend, a coworker, a classmate? Who is that one that Jesus lays on your heart to go out into this dying world and say, what you really need is Jesus? Because when people find Jesus, they change. It's what we need to end these school violences and everything else. We can talk about security. We can talk about all kinds of things. But what we really need is Jesus. And if we want to fix our country and we want to make our country great again, what we need to do is share the love of Jesus Christ with those ones that we come in contact with. Not on Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and going on and on and on. That's what we are here for. We are here to come and get filled up and get encouraged so that we can go out into this world and share with them. I've heard it said that, you know, many times you'll bring up an issue and people will say you're preaching to the choir. You're right. I just preached to the choir, and now what I expect is the choir to go out there and sing a joyful noise unto the Lord and share it with everybody else. Because people aren't coming in here except believers. What we need to do is take the believers out there to the lost now. Thank you very much for your attention. I am finished with my message. I'm going to have Derek. He is going to come up and close with prayer. I want to share something a little bit here as far as Derek coming up, and he don't know that I'm doing this, but I'm going to tell you. It blesses me, you know, when I told the youth group that we were going to have a church service and we were going to do the whole thing, you can only imagine when you're a teenager, you wouldn't have been happy about it. I wouldn't have been happy as well. And I told them basically they don't have a choice in it. They're going to do it. And Derek volunteered to do the opening prayer. He volunteered to do the prayer at the offering. And we forgot the closing prayer. And until the following week or so, I realized that I didn't have anybody to volunteer for it. So I thought, well, when we get to church, I'll make sure that we get somebody to volunteer. And sure enough, we came in that morning and Derek said to me, "Hey, I think you forgot to get somebody for the closing prayer. Can I do that, or do you want me to do that as well?" And I said, "Absolutely." And that just thrills me to have youth that are willing. They were still trying to get out of coming up and singing and things this morning. But I am very thankful for them coming and doing their part and serving the Lord. And I'll dismiss the youth to go back and greet everybody as they leave as well. And I'll have Derek come and close us with a word of prayer. Thank you, Derek.
If you know this prayer, feel free to speak along. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.